Hi, this is Tony Coomer, and welcome to podcast number two from MinistryToChildren.com.
Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will sustain you. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will sustain you.
Thanks again for joining us on this podcast, and what you're listening to is a sample from Seeds Family Worship, and that song is called Cast Your Cares on the Lord. It's based on Psalm 55:22, and that's kind of a segue to introduce next week's guest, not this week, but next week on the podcast. We're going to have Jason Hauser from Seeds Family Worship here to talk with us about their mission of bringing great music and God's Word together and placing just scripture in the hearts of families. So seedsfamilyworship.net, we're going to be talking with them next week on the podcast. This week on the podcast, I have an interview with Sam Luce. Now, many of you know Sam from his blog, samluce.com, but in real life, Sam is the children's pastor at Redeemer Church in Utica, New York, and he's been there for the past 13 years. And I've been reading Sam's blog for a while, and I've found him very wise and helpful and encouraging, and that's why I wanted to give him a phone call and record that interview for you here on our website. So now our interview with Sam Luce.
Well, Sam, thanks for taking the time to talk with me today. And let's just get started. If you could tell me a little bit about how you came into children's ministry in the first place.
It's sort of, I came into kids ministry like I think a lot of people do, is we get tricked into it, I think. And basically what happened was I went to school, to Bible college. I really wanted to be a youth pastor. And that was my goal, was I wanted to work in youth ministry. And I met one of my good friends, and his dad was a pastor in New York, and they needed a youth pastor. And so the summer between my junior and senior year, I went out and I did an internship at the church. And that was the summer my friend and I, we started the youth group, and we had a great time. And I went back for my senior year, and during that year, the senior pastor offered me a position. He said, you know, do you want to come work with the youth? So I prayed about it and felt like it was what God wanted me to do. And so about a month after I graduated from college, I moved out all the way across the country from Portland, Oregon, all the way to Utica, New York. And I got there, and I started helping with the kids, the youth ministry and stuff, and I was having a good time about a month in or so. One of the elders came, he talked to me. He said, you know, hey, Sam, he goes, and we need you to help with the kids. And I didn't mind because I'd volunteered for many years, you know, helping out with kids in other places. I'm like, yeah, I don't mind. I can help out once a month or, you know, something like that. And he's like, actually, he goes, I don't know if you know this, but you're in charge of all the children's ministry, the Wednesday night, Sunday morning, everything.
Wow.
And my heart just sunk, you know, because it really wasn't what I wanted to do, and it was really difficult, honestly, for the first little while. And I just started praying. I'm like, God, if this is what you want me to do, you have to really give me a passion and a vision for it. And you know, I really felt like God did. You know, He really gave me a vision for it, and I had, like, you know, some very specific things that I felt like He wanted me to do that were I think kind of a little bit different than what I'd seen in the past. You know, that I'd seen in kids ministry in the past. And it took a little while, honestly. It took a couple of years, you know, but it got to the point where, man, it really is genuinely what my passion is. And so, but I found out later, and he still does this, our senior pastor still does it. He calls children youth, and he calls teenagers young people.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I got into children's ministry through semantics.
Yeah, so read those job descriptions carefully, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a great story, but it shows how sometimes God, you know, drafts us for things that we never expect. And
no, totally. And I think that's, and as I look back, you know, Tony, it's like I look back over my life and I see all the different things that I did, you know, even like the things I was involved in school with, like, drama and art and all different things like that. Those really are, you know, really were the things that helped me to do what I do today. You know, it's that creative side of things that was, so God knows more than we do. So that's like God and we're not.
And absolutely. You know, I've done the same thing. I've sat down and kind of charted out the things in my life that have prepared me for children's ministry before I knew there was such a thing, you know, even before I was saved, and then in Bible college, and then, you know, every seem, you know, it's like God lined it up perfectly, and he had my resume in his mind, you know, what I really needed to learn before I was ready to do this, and he worked that out before, and then bam, the calling came later. So it's amazing, you know.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and that reminds me of some of these kids now in my ministry, and you know, some of them I think, well, this kid could really grow up, and I could see him, you know, being a teacher in the church or being a lay elder or doing this or that. And then, you know, sometimes it's the kid over there who's picking their nose and hiding under the chair. That's the one that God's going to end up using in children's ministry or whatever ministry, or, you know, you just never know. So.
No, it's true.
I'm not accusing you of picking your nose, Sam, just to clarify.
No, yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. How do you know all that inside information, you know, that as a...
Oh, that was supposed to be off the record.
Corner of the room nose picker.
Yeah. Well, hey, I've been reading this series on your blog, samluce.com, and it's a series on long haul, and you've talked about some really great topics, and I want to ask you about a few of those. And the first one, as I was thinking about, was motivation, because you've been doing kids ministry about 13 years. I've only been doing it 5 years, and there are weeks where I'm like, this is just not fun anymore. I mean, what kind of things do you talk about have kept you motivated over the years in children's ministry?
Well, I think in, you know, there's a lot of different things, you know what I mean? But I think the main thing, again, you know, from talking to people that have been doing kids ministry for a long time, one of the things I found to be like a common thread is that they had a clear and, you know, a super clear sense of calling that they could point to. They say, I know that God called me to this. And I think that is, if you're going to make it for the long haul in kids ministry, you have to know, you have to have that point in your life where you know that I feel like God called me to this. Because it's going to be hard. I mean, there's going to be times when you do feel like quitting. I feel like quitting many times. And what helps me is that keeps me centered is knowing that God called me. And that's what helps me get through those difficult times, you know, and I think in kids ministry, another thing, you know, as far as motivation goes, is that you can't have an ego, because kids are brutal, you know what I mean? And I mean, you go to, you know, I speak in big church sometimes or in youth group, and you know, everybody's, you know, slapping you in the back, you know, you feel like a rock star, you know, when you're done. You know, in kids ministry, you know, you did everything, you prepared all week, you do the Bible story, and you know, you get to the end, you know, and you're in the lobby with the parents and the kids, and you're like, what did you learn? And they're like, you smell funny, you know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
Like, well, you know, what are you going to do? You know, so,
yeah.
You can't really have an ego, and you really have to. I think the thing that helps me most, Tony, is something my mom told me is that when I was growing up, is she said that what would you rather hear? You know, she was talking, we were talking about something, and I think I felt like I wasn't recognized for something or whatever. And she's like, what would you rather hear? Would you rather do something for the applause of man, or would you rather hear the applause of heaven? And I think that is probably one of the biggest motivations for me, is to realize that what I do is not to be thanked, you know, or even to be seen, but what I do is ultimately for Christ. And it doesn't matter who sees, it doesn't matter who knows, you know, how difficult his ministry can be at times. You know, it's because what I do is for him, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to, because, you know, all the kind of all the human motivations, you know, those things wear out, but it's about Christ and staying close to Jesus. And, you know, if he wants me to do this, you know, and he's going to give me the strength to do it, then I can do it and I can love it. Yeah. And, you know, I met you a few months back. We were down in Louisville. You came to see a friend of mine, Jared's church, and you guys were hanging out. You and Kenny were on your road trip, and we were hanging out, and then we had coffee, and that was you guys just caught me in kind of a weird week, because I just had kind of some discouraging things where, you know, my ministry, I thought it was going one direction, and God kind of said, no, you need to stay where you're at and stay where you're at. And you, You said something really encouraging to me in an email. You sent me a Bible verse, and you just said you were praying for me, and you just gave me a real specific encouragement about my situation. And that meant a lot to me, and I could tell from that that Sam Luce is the kind of guy who is an encourager and who's there for people. Is that something that you've learned, or is that a spiritual gift? I mean, because I looked at that and I said, man, I wish I could be that kind of person in people's life. I mean, tell me how that happened, Sam. How did you become such an encouraging guy?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm not always really encouraging. I mean, you can ask, you know, my wife will probably tell you I'm not almost encouraging her. But I think what it is like even what I try to do is I try to one of the things I always say is what my goal is I try to be to other people what I wish someone was for me. And that's what I try to do in our kids ministry and just every aspect of my life. Like whenever I call or email, you know, I try my best to get back to them, you know, as soon as I can, because I wish I had other people when I was starting off speaking into my life. And I wish I had been able to not do some of the boneheaded things I did, you know, because I didn't know any better, you know, and I think that goes as far as, you know, encouragement as well. You know, I mean, I think we all need that. We all need someone in our lives that believes in us and that loves us just the way we are, you know. And so that's one of the things I try to do is I try to be to other people what I wish I had for myself. And you know what? God's faithful, and I think, you know, obviously throughout the Bible, you know, we hear, you know, you see the principle of sowing and reaping. And so that's another thing to me is I need encouragement. And so just like anybody else. So, I mean, I want to be an encouragement to others, and I want to help other people and use whatever resources I have to strengthen, you know, the church as a whole. Because I think when you realize that I think sometimes we can be so focused on our own churches that we forget that we're part of a larger church. And so to me, like, with, you know, I want to encourage you because you're part of the larger church that we're all a part of. You know, you're just doing it in a different part of the United States. And so when you're encouraged and you're doing well, you're advancing the kingdom of God, and that's what's important to me more than anything is people serving the local church to advance the kingdom of God wherever they are.
Well, that's great, Sam. Well, thanks for sharing that. Let's talk a little bit now about curriculum, because I know you know, being in ministry for 13 years, you've seen a lot of curriculums come and go and have tried different things in your context. Maybe run down what kind of curriculums you're using right now in your church and maybe some stuff from the past you've liked also.
Well, there definitely has been a lot of different curriculums coming and going. Right now, you know, I think now there's maybe I'm just more aware now, but there just seems like there is like curriculum everywhere. And so I think it's, whereas before it was like, this or that, you know, now there's so many, it's almost, and there's a lot of them that are very close to, very similar in how they do things. And so it's sometimes can come down to like, you know, straining the gnats and trying to figure out what is the best. But I mean, ultimately I think for curriculum, it really has to come down to like what best fits our philosophy of ministry and our values of our church, and how easily are they to adapt, you know, because no curriculum is going to be one size fits all. You have to tweak it. So, it's what's the, for me as I have to do a lot of other stuff. So I don't really have the time anymore to write curriculum. So for me, I try to figure out what's closest to what we're trying to do. So I have to tweak it less. We did a lot of large group stuff, and I really felt like, way back, like 10 years ago now, I felt like God speaking to me that he really wanted that we should do small groups for kids. And I had no idea what small groups for kids look like. And, so I looked around and, you know, most all the curriculums that were available back then were all large group curriculums. And, I didn't know what it was. And so I actually, that week, you know, I prayed and I asked God, I'm like, I don't know how to do small groups for kids. I mean, do they go to someone's house, at, you know, Wednesday night, like adults do, or what do they do, you know? And, that week I got a flyer from Willow Creek saying, you know, they're doing a kids conference, and one of the breakouts was doing some more groups for kids ministry. And so I'm like, so I got on a plane and went, because I didn't know what to do. And so it was great. I got to see them do small groups in action, and it really helped me a lot to figure out what that would look like. And so what I did then is I started writing my own curriculum, just because there wasn't really a lot out there that had the small group module to it. And then as I got to the third year, I think, of doing it, I wanted to do one on virtues, you know, like about teaching kids about honesty and about, you know, the basic virtues of what it means to be a Christ follower, those kind of things. And about a month into it, I found, but looking for, you know, for help for, like, what your site would have provided me back then. So where were you, huh? Where were you 5, 10 years ago?
Man, I was in Bible college. I thought I was going to be, no, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I don't know.
10 years ago.
I was in a bad place, man.
And stuff. And so, I looked around, and I actually, that's when I kind of stumbled around. How was it? Maybe it was like 5 years ago. I can't remember what it was. It was something like that. It was like 5 years ago. I stumbled upon, Rethink, their 252. They just had released it to public. And so, we started using that then, and we've, for the most part, we use that most all year round. The summer, we usually use a different curriculum just to kind of give us the kids and the, our leaders a little bit of a break. We kind of do something a little different usually every summer. But, so right now we're using 252, and we tweaked it a tad, and we use the preschool. And, we started last week, is, we're using, Rethink's, high school and junior high curriculum for our 5th and 6th grade ministry. So we're kind of, tweaking it a bit to meet, like, to connect better with the junior hires.
Or sure.
One of
Wendy on Facebook, I think Save Sister 7 is her handle on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Save Sister 7. She actually asked a question about that and wanted to hear about your experience adapting XP3 for preteens, and that's all from the Orange People, right?
Yep.
XP3, that's Rethink, yep. Orange People. Has that been pretty smooth for you guys, or has it been a lot of work?
Yeah, you know, I think partly, again, it comes down to your philosophy. Like, one of the things that's really important for us with the 5th, 6th, and 7th graders, because we actually add in the 7th grade in our kids' ministry, is that they successfully make it to youth ministry. And that's a huge thing for us, that we call it like the pipeline principle. We want to make sure that every preschool kid makes it to one way, and all the one, you know, to our elementary age, and all the elementary age kids make it to junior high. And because we believe that, you know, as long as they stay plugged into the church and they make friends, you know, in the church, it'll help them make wise choices, because they'll have that connection to the church, and we'll have that ability to speak in their lives when they're facing things that are larger themselves. And so, based on that, one of the things we found with the, just for our, in our experience, is that with the 252 curriculum, that the 5th and 6th graders and 7th graders were kind of disengaging with it a bit, because it was a little bit, kiddy for them, I guess. And so, one of the things that we decided to try, we did 1 week about 6 months ago, was we tried, doing like an XP3 lesson, which is the junior high and high school curriculum. And, it seemed to work really well. So then we decided to switch this fall. And so we did the first one last week. And what I really like about it is the fact that it's topical, and we can really pick which topics that our preteens are facing that would really help them, you know, and just say, God, you know, what do you want them to learn? And so we're starting off, because the school year is starting off, so we're starting off with a series on friendship. And then our church is going to be talking with the adults. They're going to be talking about the book of Galatians. So they have one on Galatians. And so it's been great. I mean, there's a few things, like some of the icebreakers and stuff we had to tweak, because they really wouldn't, like one of them was like, one of the ones last week was that you had to, like impersonate one of your friends, and they had to guess who it was. And I think in the South, people are much more kind than they are in New York. If we tweeted that, it wouldn't be good. There'd be people crying. So,
right.
So we, yeah. So we tweaked that a little bit, and then I just added like a visual metaphor kind of thing for the Bible story. It was about the bottom line was basically like the people closest to you shape you. And so what I did is I just added I told the Bible story with Plato and with different like Plato stamps kind of thing, and just showed like how different relationships form us. We don't form them; they form us. And so just use that throughout the whole thing as like a visual thing for the kids to focus on. And it was really powerful, actually. The kids were really connected with it. And I think they like the fact that they're not learning the exact same thing as their younger siblings are. You know, their kindergarten, their little brother or sister that's in first grade, they're not learning the same topic. So I think those things have really been, and it's our first week. I don't know. It may, that's what I told our leaders. It's like, we'll try it. And if it sucks, then we won't do it anymore, you know, but it seems to be working really well.
Yeah. Well, that's great, and hopefully that'll help Wendy kind of get a handle on what you guys are doing there. Let me ask you about mybiblebucks.com, Biblebucks 2.0, but it's at mybiblebucks.com. It's kind of like a reward system. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that, how it works, how you guys came up with it? Is it getting some momentum or what?
Sure. It's a thing I kind of do on the side, and I don't like – push it because I don't want to be like everyone to think of me as the Bible Bucks guy, you know what I mean? So
sure.
So it helps. The people that use it really love it, really. It's basically what happened was is that when we were redoing our children's ministry a couple years ago, we wanted to do a store, and my thought was I was just tired of printing, you know, paper money with Jesus' face on it.
And, yeah.
And part of the problem was the biggest problem actually was the fact that that some teachers, not all of them, but that some would use it almost as like a way of, like, if their lesson wasn't going very well or they didn't prepare, what they would do is they would subsidize their lesson by giving out more Bible books.
Hmm.
You know, and so I didn't really have control over how it was used and what it reinforced. And so to me, like, the biggest proponent against rewards that people have is because I don't say they don't like rewards, but really I think it's how you use them and what you reinforce.
Mm-hmm.
That really makes a difference. And so for us, I didn't want like the teachers just handing out Bible books for everything, and you know, you look nice today, here's a Bible book, because you're sending a message like that's what's most important. Whatever you reinforce is what people will understand. And so we're very specific on what we wanted to reinforce. And so basically I bought these like Subway token type things to give to the kids, and we're going to do like a dollar store. So it'd be low key. It wouldn't be like a big deal. And, my pastor, he wanted us to make it a bigger deal. He wanted us to have like bigger stuff, and you know, he wanted us to have like bigger toys and it'd be a little bit more exciting and stuff. And so it really wouldn't work with a belt like token. They'd have to have like big old, we'd have to give them like burlap sacks or something to
right.
carry around with them. And so, so basically what I did was I started looking and I started thinking, well, what if we use what do you call those things? Those, you know, like when you go to like a store and you get points for coming, you know, that kind of thing, like a reward, a customer loyalty program.
Oh yeah. Customer loyalty.
Yeah. So I looked and they're all the proprietary ones were like, they were so expensive. It was ridiculous. It was like 5,000, 6,000, 10,000, 20,000. It was crazy. And I found this one place where they did, it was like an online customer loyalty program, and so basically I just tweaked it, and the guy was telling me about it, and that's how it came about. And basically it's just a customer loyalty program that you tweak, and it's all web based, so you can use it on a PC, a Mac, and it's great, and you can customize it for whatever you want. I mean, the nice thing about it is you can have multiple different things. Like if you do Vacation Bible School.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is you can set up a whole different reward system for the Vacation Bible School that doesn't affect their points for Sunday morning. And you can give away like, you know, 1 million points a day at Vacation Bible School, and they'll still have the normal amount on Sunday morning. And if you're doing multi-campuses, you can do each campus have their own store. And it's just really flexible, I found. And the nice thing about it is that it's like if they lose their card or whatever,
mm-hmm.
they don't lose their points. You know, someone can't steal, you know, I don't know if the New York thing,
yeah.
couple kids got mugged in the bathroom for their Bible bucks. So.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. Yeah.
Day, so. relevant to the fifth graders like me, I watch the little kindergartners. And so you can't do that, because if you take someone's card, it has to match their name tag. And so it's just been, for us, it's been a great, great experience. And the people that have used it, and it, not a ton of churches use it, but that's partly because I think it has to match your, you know, not everybody does Bible Bucks, and, you know, and so not everybody wants to do that. And then it also, I think for a real smaller church, it might be, it depends on, I mean, it depends on if that's what you want to do. You know, I mean, again, it's what you reinforce. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we're very intentional what we want to reinforce. I don't give it for bringing your Bible. We do it for, you know, if you do a Bible study at home with your parents,
right,
you get points for that. So to me, it was like, I didn't want kids to bring their Bible just to look like a Christian. I wanted them to actually know how to use it and to help parents engage in helping their kids
Learn
how to use their Bible.
Well, that's awesome. And I was checking out the website for it a few days ago, and it looked slick. It looked good. I mean, it's a very kind of forward way to do things. And I know all the kids in our church, they're just like, anything online, they're excited about, just because it's online.
Yeah.
And
absolutely. And they get their own card, and they love it.
Yeah, so that's cool. Let me, if you've got time, I'm going to ask you a few questions from people on Facebook. They've been, I put this on our Facebook page the other day and said, hey, I'm going to podcast with Sam. And, you know, all of your raving fans dropped by and just said, you know, ask questions. And we did it on Twitter too. I think it feeds through to Twitter and got some silly questions on there, but we're going to save those maybe for later. But, Bill and Wendy, they both asked similar questions on Facebook, and they're talking about how KidMen has changed over the last decade and what do you think it's going to happen in the next few years? Kind of what's been changing, and what do you think is going to be changing? Kind of a current trends question.
I definitely think like the method of ministry. I mean, there's like when 10, 12 years ago or whatever, there was definitely like one. It was almost like from what I could find. You know, I mean, and maybe that was just because I wasn't as the internet wasn't as prevalent and it wasn't as easy to find out what other people were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But from what was being produced, like, commercially, you know, I mean, what all the information that you got from kid ministry at the time was, it was basically, like, there's one basic approach. You know, I mean, there was either Sunday school model, or there was the large group, like, kids church model. And,
mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the things that's definitely changed is all the different ways in which you can, what that kids ministry can look like. And I mean, I think that's great, because I think it's you can base it more on the values of your church and the values of your church and the vision of your church. And it isn't based, you're not locked into just, what's the one thing that's out there. And so I think that's one thing that's changed definitely. And I think definitely the last few years, I'm just amazed at the connections, at how connected the kids ministry community is. It's really unbelievable. I'm like amazed. Like 3 years ago, there was only like, I started my blog like 3 years ago, but right before that, I was looking around for kids ministry blogs, and there was only like, there might have been like four or five maybe that I could find.
Yeah.
There might have been more, but there was, really wasn't like much of a presence. Now there just is. I can't keep up with it all. It's just, there's just so much, you know. Thank God for Wayne and his blog patrol.
Wayne
there's
stock.
No way I can keep
yeah.
up.
Dad in the middle.
I got that blog patrol. That helps me, because it's just so much now. And it's, the great thing about it is, between like Twitter and blogs and stuff, it's just so many more people like connecting and sharing ideas and just leveraging their influence to help other people, you know, because to me, that is just a beautiful thing. And that's what the church should be, is using what we have to expand the kingdom and to help other people, and, you know, and just sharing resources. And it's just amazing. You know, to me, that is probably, out of the last 10 years, that has been the most life-giving and most helpful thing for me personally is the last few years, like, you know, with how the kid in Twitter is just blowing up, and mm-hmm. it's been great, you know. And
yeah, it, you know, that's one thing I, just from what I do online, the thing I never expected is when I started doing the blog more seriously and really trying to help people, intentionally help people in smaller churches and just people without a lot of budget or a lot of just kind of isolated people out there are the ones that seem to find my website. You know, What I never expected, though, is how many people internationally. I mean, there's churches in the Philippines. There's churches all over the world. I mean, I'll get the map out on my Google Analytics, and I see people from over 200 countries come to the website. And, you know, I'll get 5 to 15 to 20 emails a week from these people. Just got a couple this morning from India. And they're not these spammy, please send me Bibles thing. It's like people honestly like, you know, I love your website. In my village, there's only like a computer cafe, and I have to go, and I try to print off one or two pages a week. That's all I can afford to print off from your website. And it's not, you know, how humbling that's happening. And that didn't exist a few years ago. These people, and, you know, to hear some of their stories, it's, you know, the church in America is so blessed, and to be able in some way to encourage these brothers and sisters in countries that are struggling is good. But okay, you didn't answer the future part of this question though. Okay, you said what's the past? What about the future? What do you put on your prophecy cap here, Sam? And
well,
the direction.
I don't know, the future, I think. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to answer that because it's just, I would never have guessed, you know what I mean? Like the whole thing with the internet, you know, with kids ministry being so connected as it is. But to me, the thing I would hope is a trend in the future is that there comes in kids ministry a more of a, like the thing I've been really thinking about, you know, lately is, and I hope this happens more, is that there's more of like a focus on theology in the Bible and helping kids understand the important, you know, the story of the Bible. Like you know, one of the things that I just love is the Jesus Storybook Bible by Sally Lloyd-Jones.
Yes.
And just like the way that she describes, like complex ideas for kids, you know, like the way she describes faith and how every story points to Jesus, you know, like having like a gospel focused thing. My hope is that we are more intentional, like in the future, on connecting with families and giving them tools, you know, parents tools, and to really teach their kids about what the Bible says and about who Jesus Christ really was. And as you know, as a country drifts further from its Judeo-Christian, you know, foundation, that we equip parents to really answer some of those questions that aren't going to be common sense anymore, you know, and I think just, you know, in the kids ministry community, how we've really been able to leverage our influence to help each other. Mm-hmm. I really think that in the next, you know, in the future, I think that through that influence of us connecting, that we'll be able to leverage our influence to help parents to really be the spiritual leaders of their home and give them the tools so they can do that.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting too, to see not just the kids ministry people talking about parenting and family discipleship and Orange or whatever approach you wanted to call it. You see more and more parents talking about that, just parents who have blogs or homeschool parents a lot are really into that. And people on Facebook, you know, Facebook's really empowered people who before maybe were too intimidated to blog a lot, but they'll be, you know, you'll see on there some people like, hey, we just had family devotions tonight, you know, with the Jesus Storybook Bible, and loved it. You know, people posting stuff like that on Facebook, and as people get more connected, I think that's an encouragement for all the other families who struggle with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, now I'm totally over time, so I've got three more questions I want to ask you, so you're going to have to do like 10-second answers. You ready?
Okay.
I didn't tell you this was going to be hard, did I? Okay. Questions from Facebook here. Lisa, how do you encourage communication so everything runs smoothly? 10-second communication strategy.
With
volunteers and parents.
Multiple ways. Like volunteer, I think the best way for it's no one. The problem with, I guess the best way to answer this is that there's so many different ways to communicate now that it's very difficult to. I mean, back when there was only a telephone, that's what you did, is you would call people, but now there's some, you know, some people don't even have home phones anymore, so you just have to use multiple streams of communicating the same thing on Facebook, Twitter, blogs, calling. You know what I mean? You have to just use everything at your disposal to get the word out, because it's it reinforces it, and then it makes it clear for people, you know, it reaches people wherever they're at. And so what you have to do, because there's so much noise, you have to be consistent and clear.
Right. Next question from Lena. Favorite way to show volunteer appreciation?
For me, I think what I try to do is I try to do thank you cards as much as I can, and just thank people specifically with a handwritten note, I think means a lot, because no one writes notes anymore. So so that's what I try to do. I try to do like a specifically handwritten note that says thank you.
Man, Sam, I love how balanced you are. You're like doing cutting edge Bible Bucks 2.0, but you're also doing just handwritten notes to volunteers. So there you go. The broad spectrum. Okay, JC is online on Twitter. JC, one of our blogging friends, he asked if you're doing anything else like the pictures you took of the city to inspire creativity.
Well, I think that was like one of the things I blogged about was just that I think that like when life gets busy, it's hard to have that white space, you know, and you really need that in order to be creative, because creativity isn't, like, you can't, like, schedule creativity, you know, it just happens. And so that, for me, that's what it is. I mean, I try to, like, you know, I haven't been very good at it, and because life has been crazy, but, like, going to New York City always inspires me. You know, just going to, like, honestly, like, and as crazy as it may sound, like, just hanging out at a beach and just sitting there and doing nothing, reading a book, and, you know, that helps. And reading books helps inspire me, too, because I see what other people have done, and I learn a lot. I learn a lot from reading books, and so there's just a couple things I do, but I love New York City.
There you go.
Well, I never want to live there, but I love visiting there.
You never want to live there, but you'd like to visit there. Well, that's how I feel about Chicago, but maybe once a year, you know, to Chicago. Okay, last question, and this is from Stocks Ohio on Twitter, Stocks Ohio. That's Wayne, of course, and he says to ask about your fantasy football strategy. What's your strategy for fantasy?
Well, last year my strategy was, because I don't know anything about football, I love baseball, and so I know everything about baseball, but my last year was, I mainly joined like fantasy football leagues like in our church just to mess with all the football fans.
Right.
So like I was in first place, and so I was just messing with them, and I said, you know, I picked my team because of the colors of the uniform, and I'm in first place, so, you know, so I was just messing with them, and that was my strategy last year. But this year I tried picking the two best quarterbacks I could pick, because it seemed like I would always get beat last year. I don't know any player. The only player I know is Brett Favre, because he keeps retiring.
Right.
So that's, I don't know anything about football, so I just decided to pick the two best quarterbacks that were available, and because it seems like quarterbacks give you more points. So I don't know. I don't know anything about football. So, and all those people, when someone gets hurt, I'm in trouble, because I don't know who to replace them with.
Well, it seems like it's working. I mean, if you're beating the football guys in your church, you're doing all right.
Yeah, then a bunch of guys got hurt, and I didn't know what to do. So then at the end, I didn't win at the end last year. So when someone gets hurt, I don't know. I try to ask a guy that does football and baseball. I'm like, give me the baseball equivalent of who I should replace, because I know like pretty much every baseball player there is. So.
You just translate it. Yeah, that's cool. Well, hey, Sam, thanks again for taking the time to talk with me, and thanks for all your patience yesterday as we were trying to get this thing started up. And, hey, man, look forward
to your second interview.
Yeah, you know, in all fairness, you were number one, but it takes you got bumped, man. You had to work or something, and you couldn't spend all day playing with my podcasting equipment, so you had to move on with your life. But hey, that's okay. Number two is good, and Amy went out there and did a great job. And
she did awesome. Amy's great.
As you can hear, it was a lot of fun talking with Sam, and hopefully you enjoyed that. And there was a lot there of just rich information that can encourage and help you in your ministry. And thank you for listening all the way to the end of this podcast. And let me just remind you, next week I've got an interview scheduled with Jason Hauser from Seeds Family Worship, so hopefully you'll listen in for that. And we'll see you next time.
And he will sustain you. He will sustain you. Cast your cares on the Lord. sustain you. He will sustain you. And he will never, never, never let the righteous fall. Let the righteous fall. No. He will never, never, never let the righteous fall. Let the righteous fall. No.